Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Lead to that secret, sacred place with you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is June the 5th, 2021. We are currently in the sixth month of 2021. And certainly, if I do say so, it looks better than it did last year. Welcome again, Blog Talk to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled show today. We want to give shout-outs to the co-host, Terry Rogers, who did a phenomenal job on last month, and you will hear her on next week. So praise God for his goodness, of course. We do our announcements, and your announcements is we are finishing up the first part of the Old Testament survey. Certainly, we have had a good time in the Lord. We are learning the Bible. We are learning how the Bible builds on each other. So, in essence, we will start our next part, part two, in August of 2021. So, if you are interested, give me a call, 309-750-7584, and say, Dr. Carey, I want to be part of the team. And certainly, we will get you all set up. I want you to please consider giving a donation to Amazing Grace Ministries. You can donate, make all checks payable to Amazing Grace Ministries, not Dr. Carey, but Amazing Grace Ministries. Or you can put it short and say AGMI, which stands for Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., AGMI. And certainly you can send those checks to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And to those of you that have taken the time to send this ministry, your finances, thank you so much. We do put it back into the ministry. We want to do great things. We want to get the word out. We want to teach the word of God. so that people will stand in this last and evil day. It takes the word to stand, because Satan is trying to throw so much at us, and certainly even today's lesson, it takes the word to be able to alleviate what we're talking about. Praise God, and I certainly don't want to get ahead of myself. So to everybody listening in Radio Land, I declare and decree your blessings. You're healed, you're delivered, and you are set free. If this lesson you find is titillating to your spirit and your soul, please give me a text at 309-750-7584. Also, you can send me an email at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com, and that amazing is A-M-A-Z-E-N, not I-N-G. It's A-M-A-Z-E-N, graceministries@gmail.com. Certainly, if you want to listen to this link, you can do it at http://topbtr.com/s/11954221. All right, saints of the Most High God, let's get into our lesson. So we are going to hear word that is going to captivate and illuminate us and move us forward into this last and evil day. And the lesson for this, our overall lesson for 2021 is breaking out and rebuilding the destitute places. So today's lesson, and I kind of hinted on it, is obeying God to alleviate anxiety. Obeying God to alleviate anxiety. We're coming from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. And certainly when I looked at my daily word this morning, I'm like, my goodness, God is confirming his word. So let's read. And this is the New Living Translation, praise the Lord. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths and eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust can't destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasures is, there the desires of your heart will be. The Bible says, out of the issues of your heart floweth, from the heart floweth the issues of life. 22, your eyes is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eyes is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eyes is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. And certainly this is the New Living Translation. The King James Version has a word that we're going to talk about, mamma, M-A-M-M-O-N. And we're going to specifically talk about that word. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to them, to him, than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, how he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things are dominated. these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But sure, Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And this is the daily word for today, this scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Thank God. Hallelujah. So on June 11, 2020, the state of Illinois will go to phase five, which means that everything that we will be open for business. Chicago will go into the also go into 100 capacity. That means that we're back to the festivals. We're back to full restaurants. We're back to, it would appear, things as normal. The restaurants are opening. We're having festivals festivals are starting, but nothing is as it used to be. Although the CDC say you don't have to wear a mask, it's up to the business establishments as to whether you wear a mask in their business. And, of course, the CDC said, you don't need to wear a mask if you've been fully vaccinated. But those that have not been fully vaccinated need to wear a mask, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, in essence, and of course, we look at the television, we look at the number, we see that people are still getting coronavirus, and yet people are still dying. But the numbers are down to less than 50. So, in essence, or less than 30. But still, there is a concern, and certainly we should have a concern. And, you know, we are, the businesses and everybody are going to phase five and opening up, but they're still not, we're not still operating as we did before coronavirus. So anxiety is the most prevalent cause of emotional distress. Anxiety can be defined as a state of uneasiness and apprehension, particularly about the future. Uncertainties, it suggests feelings of fear, doubt, worry, helplessness, distress, tension, care, deep concern, and solitude. And solitude is an active and sometimes excessive concern for another's well-being. Anxiety is the inner anguish over a matter that may or may not happen. There is a multitude of reasons why anxiety is such a major medical, psychological, and social issue. The treatment and development of drugs and therapy for anxiety and its treatment is attendant illness to $150 billion global business. There are a lot of fearful, distress, and worry people in the world. And certainly this coronavirus has tripled that. And now we're going into phase five, and everybody is fully, or the state and the cities are fully opening up. But we're still guarded. There's still a concern. Now, let's be clear that Jesus cared about the people and their problems. Our Lord reveals his sensitivity to the problems and concerns that the people of his day felt, and he's still feeling our pain. The people of Jesus' day live with tremendous economical challenges, social unrest, Roman occupations, and political uncertainty. And certainly if we look at our day and time, there's really nothing new under the sun. We're living in social tension. We're living when people of color are still being persecuted, still being overlooked. We're now discovering history where we can look at Tulsa, where 100 years ago, so many African Americans were slaughtered by a mob. We're hearing now in Florida that so many people of color were killed. So now we're seeing, now our eyes are being enlightened to the social unrest that is happening today. So there's nothing new. Jesus encountered it. We're encountering it today. Back then, it was wealthy business owners and political well-connected people. And still during this time, they are dining in luxury where the poor seem to be getting poorer and poorer. And certainly we can see that as we are looking today. But, you know, the Lord is doing a new thing, praise God. So when the multitudes hear these words of Jesus, they must have thought great comfort to their hearts and minds, who those that have left everything to follow him. I want to know if you left everything to follow Jesus. Just raise your hand in your home and say, yes, I have. Yes, I have. So when we're talking about alleviate, let's define some terms. So alleviate, you know, when you want to alleviate or when you want to get rid of that pain, you take your Tylenol, your aspirin, your Advil. You know, Advil is almost close to alleviate, which is spelled A-L-E-V-I-A-T. It makes less severe. It makes the pain less severe. It makes the suffering less severe. It makes the deficiencies less severe. Not that we're not going to have them, but we're going to alleviate it. We're going to make it where it's almost like it we don't feel it, or even if we don't feel it, to make easy to endure, to lessen. So that is the definition of alleviate. Now, on the opposite, let's look at, not on the opposite, but let's look at obeying. Obeying is the present participle. So we're putting this in action. We're putting this word, we're doing this. So it is to comply with the command, direction, or request of a person or a law. Submit to their authority. So in essence, when we're talking about obeying God, we are talking about submitting to God's authority and carry out. Another definition is to carry out, to behave in accordance with. So we are to carry out God's commands or instructions, and his instructions are given in the Bible. We are to behave in accordance with the Bible. Therefore, when the Bible says, be ye holy, we are to be holy. So one of the other definitions I want to point out, because when we see in the text, we see that Jesus references Solomon, and he is saying Solomon in his array, because if we go back to the scripture, and Solomon was the son of King David, the second son born to King David and Bathsheba. Hallelujah. And he was the third king over the United Kingdoms. That means he was the third king over 12 tribes of Jacob. And so he was arrayed in wealth. He had wisdom that exceeded his father, and he was able to build the temple. But he also strayed away from the Lord. Now, when we look at faith, and I want to just hit a little bit of Luke 12:22-34, and I'm not going to read all of this, and I want you to read it in your spare time. It says, teaching about money and possession. 22, then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for God feeds them, and you are more valuable to him than any bird. 25, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Nope. And if you worry, can't accomplish a little thing like that. That's the use of worrying over a big thing. Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. So we begin to see that Luke is repeating the same thing almost as the text that we talked about. Now, as a Christian counselor, I've learned about anxiety disorders, and there's so many anxiety disorders. When you look at mental disturbance, when you look at the state that we're living in, there are so many, and there are so many that so many people are dealing with, and one that is so popular that we all might be showing some signs of is post-traumatic stress disorder. And certainly when we're living in this age of coronavirus, we're coming out, praise the Lord, but there have been an issue with wearing masks, social distancing, washing your hands, being fearful of going out, but not only going out, but losing so many of our loved ones to this disease and not being able to celebrate their transition, not being able to look at them, not being able to go and with our family members and be engaged and interact with them, not being able to go to that birthday party, not being able to spend Thanksgiving, Christmas together. So there has been a lot of anxiousness. There has been a lot of anxiety. There has been a lot of fear. You know, if I go out my house, I've got a pre-existing condition. Will I get this coronavirus? And certainly we have been talking about fear and faith. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when we look at the text today, the Gospel of Matthew is the first of four Gospels found in the canon of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke are referred to synoptic gospels because their message are remarkably similar. And as I read the scriptures in Matthew, in Luke, we see that they're similar to the text on this morning. Matthew is not the oldest of the ecclesiastical gospels. The distinction belongs to the Gospel of Mark. So if somebody said which one of them four is the oldest, you can say Mark, praise God, which is believed to have been written around A.D. 70. Matthew, on the other hand, is believed to have been written about 85 C.E. Christian tradition ascribes the authorship to Matthew, who was one of the original 12 disciples. He was a tax collector and was called by Jesus early during the Galilean ministry. And you can see that in Matthew 9 and 9. Matthew is called the church gospel because it instructs believers on how to live in the world and in community with others. Now, and it is the only gospel to mention the word church, which is ecclesia. Matthew 16 and 18, 18 and 17. Matthew was written to a largely Jewish Christian audience, and this is reflected in the text by numerous references to the Jewish law and prophets. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is the great lawgiver whose pronouncements exceed those of even Moses. Whereas Moses goes to the mountaintop to receive the law, Jesus redefines the law from a mountaintop. He is the master teacher that attracts large crowds of people who are amazed by his words. The one overarching theme of the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus is the promised Jewish Messiah who came to save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. According to Matthew 4:12-25, Jesus began his active ministry in the region of Galilee, that John had been put in prison. Galilee is the northern region of Israel and situated about 80 miles from Jerusalem. After leaving Nazareth, Jesus settled in the town of Capernaum, a fishing community located along the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. It was here along the shores of the lake where he met his first disciples, Simeon, Andrew, and the two brothers, James and John. Shortly after calling these young men, Jesus began his first ministry tour of Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He spent time teaching in synagogues and healing all manners of sickness and diseases among people. Matthew 6:25-34 follows a series of pronouncements that covered a range of subjects. In Matthew 6:1-18, Jesus gives clear instructions about true piety and heavenly rewards. He taught the disciples about folly of making earthly treasures a focal point of their lives and reminded them that they could not serve two masters. They must decide that it is either God or mammoth. And I told you I would bring up that word mammoth one more time, which is spelled M-A-N-N-O-N. In verses 19 through 24, Jesus deals with the human lust after possessions. And in verses 25 through 34, he confronts their concerns about how they would provide for their daily needs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, the Greek word for anxiety is two-rooted, meaning divided mind. And the Bible says that a divided-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. Anxiety weighs a person down, Proverbs 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up, Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Luke 21:34, be careful or your heart will be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxiety of life, and the day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Worry is fear, feeling troubled and uneasy, anxious, worldly cares. Don't worry, God got it. Now, let's give just a little bit of a background. Now, in these verses, Jesus draws a distinction between those who put their trust in earthly riches and those who completely trust in God. He shifts the ancient understanding of riches from strictly temporal things to the things that are eternal. Jesus states that it would be futile to store up riches, treasures on earth where they can decay or be stolen or be eaten by moths. It is far better to store up treasures in heaven where they can never be stolen, rusted, or eaten by moths. Jesus stated that wherever one's treasure was, there would be the person's heart also. Jesus challenges his disciples to keep their attention and their eyes focused on the kingdom. When Jesus said, "You can't serve two masters," he uses the strongest possible word found in the Greek language. It is the absolute negative. Jesus says that it's simply impossible to serve God and mammon. When it comes to our service, loyalty, and devotion to the work of the kingdom of God, it is absolutely impossible to have divided loyalties. There's no middle ground with God. Now, mammon is an Arabic word that refers to material possessions, grains of every kind. So mammon, you may think, is just money. It's not just money. It is land, building. It includes an attitude toward an acquisition that these things will take you from the Lord. So rather than working to acquire things, and of course, we're looking at wealth, we're looking at retirement. If you get a certain age, you're worried about what's going to happen, what is a piece of land you're going to give your children. But we have got to store up treasures in heaven. We've got to look to the hills from which cometh our help. And we know that the world is coming out. We are not doing things as we used to. It's before COVID, and now we're going out after COVID, and they're saying, well, it's open to full capacity. We're going to have various festivals, but yet we still want you to maintain a certain amount of distance. But God has allowed COVID-19 to come that he may pull the light off of some stuff, that he may give us another opportunity to run like crazy, to run with all we have to serve him. So in essence, the word is giving us scriptures to know that we don't have to fear going outside. We don't have to worry, but we do have to pray. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 is common. It's a scripture we're supposed to be acting on. It says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. And this is a new NIV version. The Bible, the King James says, supplication. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Cast all your anxiety. All your anxiety, your fears, your concerns, your problems. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. Put it in the hands of the Lord. On the Lord. Put it in God's hand. God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to make this end. But God, you see, you understand. I'm putting it in your hands. Now, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares. I thank God because he cares. He cares for me. He's looking out for us when we are not looking out for ourselves. He's making a way out of no way. Some of us should have died. I want to give my mother's testimony. She fell on last week. Praise God, but there was no broken bones. We had to go to the emergency room. But praise God, hallelujah, not this week, but week before before last, but there was no broken bones, and she was able to go home. That's the God we serve. That's the God that will bring us out. You know, I've heard about so many people that have failed in broken bones. They were concerned that she might have had a hip fracture, but she didn't have that. Oh, God will work it out in our behalf. He is fixing it. When Satan comes at us, God will move a standard. God will give us protection. God will fortify us. God will build us up. So when he comes in like a flood, it's almost like that shield rises up in front of us, and he can't get to us because God is making a way out of no way. Oh, when we pray and seek God, when we spend that time in his presence, and we certainly got to spend time in his presence, we've got to meditate day in and day night, day out. We've got to give God his due. God, I don't know how to make it, but in all my ways, I acknowledge you. When I get up in the morning, I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you, God. And I don't know which way to go, but I'm asking for your direction. What am I going to wear? What am I going to put on? What direction am I going to make? Oh, we fail to consult God in every little thing. We say, God, we're going to put you on the shoulder, but, on the shelf, but I'm going to do this. No, 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 no. In every way, in all our ways, everything we do, what we eat, what we say, what we do, how we raise our children, how we parent, belongs to God. God needs to direct us. God needs to guide us, how we interact with people. God, open up a door that I may say something to somebody when they know that you, hallelujah, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we are to live a tranquil life or a peaceful life, free of stress, even in the midst of coronavirus, y'all. Hallelujah. There's been some saints, I tell you, and not to say that we're not going to be moved, because I've been moved. I mean, there have been some mighty, 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 mighty saints that have gone on to be with the Lord all over the place. And you wonder, Lord, what you're saying, what you're doing. But God just have called his people home. And he's called them home from their labor to their reward. And we don't mourn like the world, because we know that one day we've got to go. And Satan tries to make us anxious. He tries to make us fearful of death. But we've got to stand on the scriptures and believe what the word of God says. So when we take Psalms 37, 3-7, gives us the key to really a stress-free existence. Trust in the Lord. Psalms 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We do that. Oh, we doing good. We got the formula right now, right there. Now, anxiety weights the person down and causes excessive worry. When left untreated, then it develops into emotional stress. This emotional stress then develops into an emotional disorder. Now, I want you to hear that. And therefore, we have got to obey God to eliminate anxiety. Praise God. There are more verses. There are Proverbs 12 and 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Proverbs 14 and 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy roots the bones. And I think I've read these things already, so I'm not going to read them before. But praise God, when we look at where we're going, we are opening up June 11th. We will be at full capacity, 100%. But we are to still spread the gospel. How do we make it? You know, there was an old song by by Mahalia Jackson, but she recorded it from somebody else. is How I Got Over. My soul looked back and wondered how I got over. And, of course, Aretha Franklin sung the song, too. How did we get over? We got over by prayer. We got over by fasting. We got over by seeking God. We got over because God comforted us. When we felt like throwing in the towel, praise God, the word says delight. We put on a Christian song. We cleaned up, and then the song comes in, and it tells about the goodness of Jesus, and we say, thank you, hallelujah. And that spirit ignites a praise and a dance in us that even in the car sometimes when you drive and you still maintain control of the car, because the spirit that's in us has, it is controlled by our will. So in essence, when we, that's why the Bible says quench not the spirit, because the spirit, the Holy Ghost, is subject to our control, praise God, because it's the indwelling, it's in us, and therefore, hallelujah, when we give it free reign, it reigns. But when we don't give it rein, or if we cut it off, or we don't allow the spirit to be part of our lives and to guide and to lead us, then the spirit just says, okay, I'll let you do it. But when we open it up, hallelujah, praise God, and let God be God and let him do his thing, then we are strong. We are united. We have a vigor for the Lord. Not to say that we're not going to have problems, because we all have been through some stuff during this coronavirus, and certainly every one of us have had a loved one that has gone on because of this trend, this pandemic. And if they didn't have coronavirus, we couldn't go celebrate them like we normally do. And certainly for people of color, we like to send our folks home in a good way, and we fellowship after that home going. You know, sometimes, you know, we only, family members only get together at a funeral. They say, well, you know, I hadn't seen you here and I hadn't seen you then, but certainly we'd all come together after a funeral. But praise God, God is saying, and certainly we want to pray, hallelujah, God is saying that in order to alleviate anxiety, worry, we must be obedient to the word. We must obey the word. We must seek him on a daily basis. We must not go out of our houses without putting on the armor of God. We've got to consult him in every situation with every problem. So let's pray, good saints of the Most High God. The God of grace and mercy, teach us to trust you without reservations. We are thankful that during this difficult time in our lives of corona, you have been our provider. Certainly you have given us food, you've given us finance, and those that are suffering in paying their mortgage, you have worked it out, and those that are in need, I pray that you work it out. We may never take you for granted. We pray that we never take you for granted, and that the peace that frees us from anxiety over the necessities of life be with us. We pray, God, for healing for those that are seeking healing. We pray, God, for deliverance in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for our co-host, Father God, who does this show so well, and those listeners that are on the line today, and those listeners that might click on the link and see this blog or listen to this blog later. We pray for them right now. And Father God, we pray, God, that you strengthen those that may be feeling anxious in their body, may be feeling anxious in their mind. We pray, God, that you direct, guide, and lead them, Father God. We pray, God, that you will provide for everything they need as the word stands. And we believe the word, and we believe you're going to do that because you know our needs. Now fill those needs as we bless your name, as we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I thank each and every one of you again for listening to this blog. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. Your co-host will be with you on next week as we go into full capacity I pray God will give you wisdom and understanding. And certainly if you don't feel comfortable, wear your mask. I went into the bank the other day wearing my mask, and I certainly saw a sign that says, even if you're fully vaccinated, wear your mask. And if you have not been vaccinated, I pray that you will get vaccinated and understand that God is still in control, and God guides the scientists and everybody, everything is in God's hand because he is in control, and I want you to know that he still reigns. So wear your mask, do your social distancing, go out, enjoy yourself, wash your hands, and know that God has you and God will protect you. You don't have to worry. Don't worry. Be happy. God bless you. Bye-bye.